Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the SFLC podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that is dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com, that is teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business, making it affordable is ours. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A-plus rating for over 5 years, partnered with 98.5, the Sports Hub, and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com.
SFLC podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the SFLC podcast, and we've got another extra show for you this week as we have one of our fan favorites returning to the show. She's been with us for quite some time, and she returns back to us after watching UFC in her hometown of Phoenix, Arizona, recently coming off of a foot surgery, Lauren Murphy. Lauren, how are we doing out there in Phoenix? It's a little cold from what I understand.
Yeah, it actually like snowed out here the other day. That's crazy. I've never seen that before.
And I mean, you've been around snow and you've been around cold weather, but you, much like myself, I have a feeling part of your move was to escape that cold weather. So how did you feel when you saw it?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
I could not have put it better myself. But you know, Phoenix and Texas, they're very similar as far as climate. So, you know, it doesn't last long, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I were talking about it off air a little bit. And, you know, we just saw UFC on ESPN1 in your hometown of Phoenix, Arizona, a card that you were originally slated to fight. You know, your foot surgery came in and you've been healing. Before we get into the card, how is the healing going for you?
It's actually going really good. It's going super fast. I'm like way ahead of schedule on all the stuff that I can do on my foot, but it's just a long recovery time. It was a pretty gnarly surgery, and so it's like a long process to recover from that, you know?
Yeah, and you were talking that you're ahead of schedule to be able to step back into an octagon. Have the doctors given you like a target time for return so that like the suspension's over and you're healthy to get back into the ring?
Yeah, well, I think my next appointment with my foot doctor is March 5th, so that's actually right around the corner. It's about, like, almost 2 weeks away, and probably that's when they'll clear me to, like, be able to go into camp and, like, have no, you know, restrictions on my foot.
So it sounds like the training and the healing has been going very well for you. You've still been plenty active as far as keeping yourself in shape and just eager to get back in and start fighting again.
Yeah, I've been swimming a lot because that's like no impact. I have some like special shoes, some prescription shoes that I wear when I need to go running or something. And so I can run as long as I'm wearing those. And yeah, I can do everything else. For a long time, I couldn't do any grappling just because it was too hard on my foot. So I took some time off from jiu-jitsu and just really worked on my boxing and my movements. You know, I could work on like footwork a little bit because I was able to work on like foot placement, you know. So there was definitely still a lot of projects that I had going on. But it was kind of a bummer. I got my brown belt in jiu-jitsu and then the next week I got surgery. So I actually didn't even roll in my brown belt for like months and months and months after I was awarded it.
Well, at least they don't demote you if that happens.
Yeah, no, thank God.
Well, you know, like I said, we look forward to seeing you getting back into the ring. But in the meantime, you ended up being able to attend UFC Phoenix in your hometown, the first card on ESPN. Outside of some of the individual fights, What was it like to kind of sit in the stands in your home crowd and watch the fights from a spectator point of view?
Oh, I mean, it's always fun. I've been to a ton of UFCs, and that's really great. But really, you know, I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, and so if the UFC ever went there, that would be really a special treat. Like here in Phoenix, you know, I've lived here in Phoenix for about 5 years now, and it is cool to like see all my teammates and like have, you know, so many friends and supporters and stuff in the crowd. But really, like, a total dream come true would be fighting in Alaska for the UFC.
Wow. Is that a lofty goal, do you think, right now?
Is that a what?
A lofty goal.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the UFC is going to go to Hawaii before they're going to go to Alaska, and they won't even go to Hawaii. So, I don't know, but sometimes they go to, like, weird places. Like, they've been to some really small towns and really, like, far-flung regions. So, hopefully they would go to Alaska, because they could have, like, Jared Cannonier on there. You know, he spent a lot of time in Alaska. They could put me on the card, Gina Mazzani. They have, you know, Alaskan options. And then there's some really tough locals up there if they needed, like, last-minute spots to fill.
Huh. Something that UFC could consider, considering Bellator beat them to the punch with Hawaii. But, like you said, they're not too far away from being in Hawaii themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's kind of put a silver lining to this, Lauren, because I know that you were looking forward to being able to fight in front of your camp, in front of your friends in Phoenix, and that unfortunately fell through. But with any luck, if we remember correctly, during Anthony Lionheart Smith's rise to the top, there was an option that he was pushing for hardcore to fight in Lincoln, Nebraska. That didn't happen. Fast forward a few months, and he's going to be fighting John Bones Jones for the light heavyweight title. So you're not exactly in a bad spot right now, if history repeats itself.
Yeah, no, the fight game is so crazy. Everything is just nuts in the fight game. It's wild. Like, you can never count on anything because anything can happen, you know?
Yeah, and as we look at the UFC Phoenix card, I mean, let's kind of look at what happened. And there are a couple of fights that we're going to talk to you about, but the obvious one to talk to you about, you had to withdraw against Ashley Evans-Smith. She ends up picking up an opponent in Andrea KGB Lee. On the prelim card, she loses to Lee in a decision. Now, in this crazy fight sport, Lauren, I got to ask you, you were originally targeted to fight Ashley Evans-Smith. She turns around and loses to Andrea Lee. Do you have any plans on trying to fight Ashley Evans-Smith now, or are you looking to another opponent for the future?
Yeah, I would fight either of them, but it's kind of up to the UFC. I thought Antonina Shevchenko would be a good matchup too, but she's already booked up with Roxy, so it's kind of like whatever, whoever they're going to give me. I was interested in fighting Jennifer Maia, but she's booked up with Alexis Davis, so I don't know, I can keep my eyes on those fights, and if one of those fights falls out, then, you know, maybe I could walk in as a replacement for one of those or something, but other than that, there's plenty of girls in the flyweight division. There's a ton of really good fights to be made. And, I don't really give a shit who they give me.
Spoken like a true fighter. But having seen that fight, having witnessed it between Evans-Smith and Lee, what was your thoughts when you were watching that? Did you go into hardcore fighter mode and be like, ooh, I would have done this or I would have done that? Or was it purely entertainment for you?
It was pretty much just entertaining. I'm a big fan of women's MMA and, like, I'm able to just watch fights from a fan perspective. I actually really don't enjoy watching them from, I might have to fight that girl. Like, I don't like doing research and stuff on women in the division unless I'm fighting them. Does that make sense, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, it was cool to just watch it from a fan perspective. I thought KGB looked awesome. She looked super fast. Her combos were super clean. It was cool. It was a really good fight.
Judging on this, the fact that you were originally slated to fight Ashley, if you were watching it from that, what did you take away from Ashley's game at the end of the fight?
I think she could have, you know, wrestled maybe a little bit more in the beginning. I think she was trying to stand with Angela, where she was trying to stand with Andrea for a while, and Andrea was definitely getting the better of those exchanges and stuff. And then by the end, by the time Ashley really started turning it up and trying to wrestle her down, it was just too late. You know, she was too tired. She'd been beat up a little bit too much and just couldn't get her timing on her shots. So, it's fine. You know, people have, if you don't see somebody's camp, it's really hard to tell anything about them from one performance, you know? Like, she might have had the best camp ever and then gotten sick or gotten injured, you know, the week of the fight, or maybe she had a really bad camp, felt great for the fight, but just had a terrible camp, or, you know, it's just hard to tell because the fight is just like one snapshot of somebody's journey. So it's not to say that it doesn't mean anything, but it's hard to tell where somebody's at in their career just from like one 15-minute snapshot, you know?
Good point. But as we kind of look at some of the other fights on this card, and we'll get your opinion on some of these kind of quickly. We saw the preliminary card headed up with a bantamweight fight between Aljamain Sterling and Jimmy Rivera. And Aljamain Sterling also ended up getting the decision on that. Did you agree with the decision giving it to Aljamain? Did Jimmy have any sort of a case?
I actually didn't watch that fight. We got I think we went and got some food during that fight.
Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. I don't really give a fuck about those guys. Like, it just doesn't really matter to me. I like watching Jimmy Rivera fight for the most part, but I'm not a big Aljamain Sterling fan, so I don't know. Yeah, it seemed like a good time to get up and get some chicken strips.
Gotcha. Well, we'll kind of move on to the main event, or the main card then. We got to see Crown Gracie win against Alex Kacharis in Crown's UFC debut. Being a jiu-jitsu person that you are, how exciting was it to see a Gracie in the UFC rolling and getting a victory?
Well, it would have been good, except that Alex is my teammate at the MMA lab, so that kind of sucked. But he works out at the lab with me, so I was sad to see him, you know, get finished in the first round. But that's the game, man, and that's kind of what Crown does, so... you know, just watching Kron work his magic on the mat, like that. I mean, I was sad for Alex, but it is cool to see somebody so skilled, because the truth is Alex Caceres is super good on the ground. His grappling is really good. Remember when he choked out Sergio Pettis?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Alex is really good on the ground. He gives everybody fits in our gym, and so to watch another guy come in and just you know, dismantle him like that was pretty surprising. And also, Alex is hard to get a hold of when he wants to be. He can be real elusive in the cage and long and kind of funky. And so for Kron to go in there and do that to Alex, I thought was pretty incredible, because Alex is a tough fight.
And have you talked with Alex since that fight?
No, I sure haven't.
Might want to reach out to him, Lauren.
Oh, yeah? Is he doing okay?
Oh, no, he's good. He's good. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Oh,
well, as we'll kind of look at another female fight that was on the card, Cynthia Cavallo beating Courtney Casey. I know that you stuck around to watch that. Seeing more and more of these women fights being on the main cards, being closer to being the headlining, the pay-per-views, all of that. What's your overall impression as far as how the UFC has taken to women's MMA, especially with the ESPN run?
I think with ESPN, it's, you know, it's still to be determined. I think that, you know, women's MMA is really going to take off. The only problem that I see in it is that there's just not as many, like, spots on the roster for women. You know what I mean? The divisions are going to be just a little bit more shallower than the men's. I mean, but that's just because there's less women in the sport. So, yeah, I think women's MMA is really taking off, and I can't wait to see where it is in, like, 5 years. It's going to be huge.
There are a lot of people who are arguing that, you know, the women's divisions have kind of been saving the sport for all this, you know, hamming up that we've seen in divisions, in the men's classes, and, you know, the women just go in there and anyone can beat anyone else. Who'd have thought that Cyborg was going to lose to Amanda Nunes? Who'd have thought that we'd see Rose Namajunas doubling up on defending her belt, and now she inks a very lucrative Reebok deal. It's crazy to see this.
Yeah.
But we kind of look at that, and then, of course, in the co-main event, we had Paul Felder defeating James Vick. We'll bypass that. We'll get right into the heavyweight main event. Francis Ngannou with that knockout over Cain Velasquez. There were some thoughts from Velasquez's camp about Ngannou's fight or about his strikes. Lauren, was there anything that Cain has to hold on to here?
I don't know. We actually left for that fight too.
You're killing me.
Yeah, I know. We went back to the hotel with like Brian and Scott and all the guys, you know. I don't, yeah, I just don't pay much attention to the heavyweight division or anything. Like, I think they're entertaining fights for the most part, but I could give a fuck. Like, if those guys, you know, if the UFC cut both of them tomorrow, I wouldn't care. If they fought for the championship tomorrow, like, I just wouldn't, like, yeah, I would watch because I like to watch fights, but I don't know, it doesn't mean anything to me, really.
Lauren, we're going to focus on your bread and butter here moving forward. Obviously, we have UFC 145 in Prague starting tomorrow morning. I might still be asleep or possibly still awake. It really depends. Are there any particular fights that are piquing your interest in that? Maybe Jillian Robertson's fight or anything else?
I'm super interested in watching the Macedo-Robertson fight. Yeah, because, you know, maybe we'll get, like, the winner or loser of that fight or whatever. That would be fine. Yeah, I'm super interested in that. Jillian is so, so good on the ground. She is just, her jiu-jitsu is really fucking beautiful. It's awesome. And when we were on Tough together, I kind of had Jillian pegged. Like, she's going to be the champ someday, in my opinion. And she might take a couple L's on the way up. She might have, you know, she's going to have ups and downs to get there, like any person, you know, on a journey. But, Jillian is really tough, and she's really young, and she's already really good. So I really think that at some point she's going to be a contender, possibly a champion. And Veronica Macedo is so fast. She's super fast on her feet, and so if Jillian can get around that speed and avoid some of those kicks and not take any damage getting in, then it could be Jillian's fight. But I think if, you know, Veronica can use her speed and scramble well, then it'll be Veronica's fight.
Well, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask who you see winning this fight.
I got to root for Jillian in this one. I just really love Jillian a lot. Like, she's just a really cool chick, and getting to know her on Ultimate Fighter was really cool. She's the future, you know what I mean? She's the next generation coming up. So I'm going to go ahead and root for her on this one.
Do you think that she's going to end up taking it, or is it going to end up going to the judges?
That's a tough call. I think she's going to end up with a submission. I think Jillian will end up with a submission.
Wow. All right. There we go. And then, of course, we see in the main event, we have Jan Błachowicz being up against Thiago Santos. You know, this is an interesting card, but for those casual MMA fans, between the time that it starts and the fighters that are on it, obviously it being in Europe, it has a lot of European influence. Do you think that's going to take away? Is ESPN Plus going to see, like, a dip in the ratings from this card?
I have no idea. Probably, since it's at, like, 9 a.m. Yeah, I would imagine.
All right. And then we'll kind of fast forward just a little bit to UFC 235. Obviously, the main fights there, John Jones versus Anthony Smith. Tyron Woodley versus Kamaru Usman. You get to see Ben Askren in the UFC. But there's also a fight that I'm sure you're looking at. You know, what kind of intrigues you about UFC 235? Or is it the whole card?
It's the whole card. And I can go look at the card on my phone real quick because I'm not familiar, like, with who is on what card. Let me go look at it real quick.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with the bantamweight between Cody Garbrandt and Pedro Munhoz, which I was super impressed with how Cody Garbrandt handled the press conference with ESPN. He was very, just very appreciative of Pedro Munhoz and very respectful. But he said at the end of the day, you know, it's a fight. This is the guy that I got to beat to get back into championship contention.
Yeah, that's a good attitude, I think, to have. And it just kind of keeps you focused on the person right in front of you. But, Cody's slick, man. I'm excited to watch him fight again. He's such a good boxer. It's cool to watch him move in the cage, you know, and to watch his feet while he fights. He's got some awesome footwork and a lot of power.
So, I mean, like I said, I think I'd... Not that I'm trying to throw anything, but if you had to ask me who was going to win this, I think it's going to be Cody Garbrandt. It's just going to be a matter of what is he going to do after that, you know, because there's such a...
I think Cody's going to knock out Munhoz.
Oh, wow. Calling with a knockout. And then the welterweight, we introduced Ben Askren to the UFC. He kind of took over the press conference a little bit, you know, talking a lot, even though it really should have been John Jones and Anthony Smith. He's taking on a legend in Robbie Lawler. We've seen all of these fighters come in from different organizations, and some have more success than others. Is Ben Askren getting a softball in Robbie Lawler, or is this too much for Ben to handle in his debut fight?
No, they generally, the UFC generally does do this when champions come in from other organizations, as they throw them tough opponents, you know. They did it to me, they did it to Eddie Alvarez, they're going to do it to Ben Askren. You know, the UFC has something to prove, too. They need to prove that their fighters here are the best, and so they're not just going to throw softballs at champions that are coming in from other organizations. Because if the champions were to just steamroll everybody in the UFC, what does that say about the UFC? So I think it's fair to give Ben Askren a really tough matchup, his first fight in. And everybody loves shit talking. Like, that's what Twitter is for. That's what the internet craves. It's what people thrive on, is shit talking. Ben is really good at it. But, you know, if he loses, man, it's going to be hard to be him for a while. But that's kind of the thing, is it? You know, if he just doesn't give a fuck and he can go out there and perform really well, then he'll be just fine. But he better not shit the bed after all the shit he's been talking.
Do you buy into that? Because, Lauren, you don't really seem like the person who talks shit on Twitter or on social media. I mean, every time you come on here, we always have a great discussion. And, yeah, you get some good one-liners in there. But you're not really the shit talker, per se.
I have been before. Like, I talked a bunch of shit to Jessica I tried to get a fight with her, like, told her off and stuff. And nothing materialized out of that. Like, I never got a fight out of it. You know, she was just kind of still able to do whatever she does and pick her fights and do her thing. And for me, it just has never really worked out. But, yeah, I don't mind telling people the truth. Like, there's a lot of women in the UFC that I think put on shitty fights. You know, I think they're not very good. There's dudes out there that are like that, too. I just don't pay as much attention to them. But, you know, there's also really impressive fighters out there that I think are badass. So, I have yet to see about Ben Askren. I actually don't think I've ever seen him fight before. So, my first, like, Ben Askren experience is going to be watching him fight Robbie Lawler. I do hope he can back up his shit talk. There's nothing better than somebody that can talk shit really well and then back it up. That's why the whole world loved Conor McGregor. That's why everybody loved Ronda Rousey. Like, people say they hate shit talking and they want to see respectful martial artists. That's not true. Everybody loves shit talking, but only when the shit talker can, like, win all their fights.
I think you and I might disagree with that on that one, Lauren. I think I've been too much around shit talking in the past. I'm just like, you know what, just go out and do it and then talk shit. It's such a safer bet, right? Because then you don't have to eat shit if you're wrong.
Yeah, but that's what people pay to see. They want to see fighters take chances and put themselves all out there and be all dramatic and talk a bunch of shit, make the audience laugh. And then there's more interest in the fight. The fans are more invested to see if that person can back it up. You know, that's kind of like having that emotion and being able to pick sides and being able to root for your side and cheer against the other side. That's why people get so invested in sports, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is why Lauren is a professional MMA fighter in the UFC and why I'm behind the scenes, you know, just kind of talking about it. But she's... Well, and we'll move on to the welterweight co-main event, Tyron Woodley. There was a lot of debacle about who he was going to fight, when he was going to fight. Has he taken too much time off? Something about a movie or maybe like a rap career in there. I don't know. It all kind of got flustered in there. Going up against Kamaru Usman. Is Tyron's like reign going to be a strong one here? Or is Kamaru Usman really somebody who can stop him in his tracks?
I think Kamaru Usman has a good chance of beating Tyron Woodley. Woodley's a beast, though. I mean, the whole welterweight division is fucking crazy. They're all, you know, just insanely talented and athletic. And, like, you know, it is a fight. It's still, like, anything can happen. Like, the number one basic rule of fighting is anything could happen. But I would take Usman for the upset in that. I think it's just hard to say. Like, they're both such good wrestlers that it's hard to imagine either one of them taking the other down. And they're both really powerful strikers, so I could way more easily see a knockout in that fight than, like, what we would typically think of a wrestler matchup, you know?
So you see this being a finish. You do not see this going to decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And then we go to the main event. We're all highly excited to see it. Las Vegas granted John Jones a one-fight deal. You know, so long as he keeps clean, he's going up against Anthony Lionheart Smith, who just has had a run in the light heavyweight division unlike we've ever seen. In the press conference, John Jones was very active, very talkative. Anthony Smith was very relaxed, and he said, you know, we strip away the name and we strip away the title, and it's just we break down the individual's performance and we try and find weaknesses and we try and find things that we can manipulate. Is that the best way for Anthony to walk into this fight against probably the biggest fighter he's gone up against?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a smart attitude, but John Jones is on another level, man. That guy's a different animal. He really is. He's just head and shoulders above the rest of the division right now. If Anthony Smith knocks him out or finishes him, it'll be one of the greatest upsets of all time. It'll be bigger than, it'll be on par, at least with Holm and Rousey. You know, I don't know if it'll be bigger than that, but it'll be on par with that. Like, I just think John Jones is going to run that division for at least a couple more years.
I believe John Jones opened as a negative 1,200 favorite in Vegas.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Welcome to the discussion. That's what I was kind of looking at. I'm going to kind of check that and see if it's still on there while you and I are talking. But I'll ask you, what is it that Anthony Smith is going to have to do if he has any chance of dethroning John Jones?
Fuck, I don't know. I guess put him on his back, maybe. I don't know. You can't strike with him. You don't want to clinch with him. I'll bet his ground game is pretty sick, but he's really hard to take down anyway. So I don't know. I guess, you gotta find a way around his reach. He's got really creative strikes. So maybe if Anthony can touch his chin somehow, if Anthony's just, you know, able to get in there and touch his chin, he could knock him down. But other than that, if he could take him down and get on top, he might be able to make something happen.
I think currently Bovada has John Jones listed at a minus 950 favorite to Anthony Smith plus 575. So that's definitely something to keep in consideration. But it is interesting, to Anthony Smith's credit, he has gone out there and he has punched through a lot of that division. And then when he talks with us on the SFLC podcast, he says, I don't know what this division is going to do when they realize that I'm not a power striker. I'm actually a ground game brown belt jiu-jitsu.
A brown belt.
Anthony
Smith is a brown belt. I mean, that is pretty good, but that's not like, I mean, you're not talking about like Jockery or something. You know what I mean? Like brown belt is pretty good, but for the level that you're fighting at in the UFC, like I'm a brown belt right now, and I don't always trust my jiu-jitsu in the UFC. You know what I mean? And you're about to go fight arguably the greatest fighter of all time. So good luck. I mean, watch, he'll probably submit John Jones now, but like, I'm just saying, like, you know, brown belt is a great accomplishment, but in the UFC, we're talking about the world's best fighting grapplers, you know?
Touche. Well, let's see here. It kind of runs it down for everything, and then, of course, we're eager to see you to step back into the octagon, but in the meantime, obviously, you're also a family person, and your husband has been doing very well in his own jiu-jitsu competitions.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's had a couple matches at Fight to Win now. He just recently had a really good match against Mike Fowler, who's a pretty big jiu-jitsu guy, pretty big name in the jiu-jitsu community. And I thought Joe won that match. The judging went the other way, but who cares? He's out there hanging with the best of them, and he's starting to make a name for himself, and his jiu-jitsu style is so smart, and it's so creative. It's really hard to deal with. Kind of the same way Andrea Lee is the next generation of fighters. I believe that like people like my husband are the next generation of jiu-jitsu. So I'm just taking, like, I do a private session with my husband like 2 times a week just to like pick up tips and tricks from him.
How does that work out? I was going to say, there has to be some competition in there. It's kind of like Austin Vanderford and Paige Van Zandt. There's Joe Murphy and Lauren Murphy. Is it kind of the same thing?
I defer to him in all matters jiu-jitsu. So, like, if I have any question about wrestling or grappling, I defer to him always. In striking, like, he knows what I like to do as far as striking goes, and he has really good eyes. So he can tell me, like, during my rounds, like, throw this combination, throw that combination. And mostly it's like he just kind of helps me stay calm in those situations and reminds me to breathe, and it's just a really good support system. So, but yeah, when it comes to anything grappling, he's the man. I go to him. I would never argue with Joe about something related to grappling, you know?
Damn. Looks like I'm going to have to end up getting Joe on the show here. I mean, it was nice talking with you while I could, Lauren, yeah. But if you just pass the phone, no, I'm kidding.
I'm telling you, he's a bad motherfucker. The world just doesn't know yet, but they will.
Well, Lauren, we always enjoy having you on. You know, we're going to get ready to say goodbye to you. But again, as always, we're looking forward to seeing you back in the ring. And, of course, hearing more about Joe and everything that's going on. But where can we catch you and when can we expect to see you back in?
Well, hopefully I'll be fighting in like May, June or July. That's kind of what we're, July would be a little late for me. So hopefully May or June. Sorry, hold on. I got really distracted. My dog is up here running around. So yeah, hopefully I'll be back in the ring, May or June, putting on a show for you guys. You guys can find me, any social media platform at Lauren Murphy MMA. I want to give a big shout out to my sponsor Onnit. They've just been so good to me. Thank you so much.
Outstanding. Well, we appreciate the time, Lauren, as always, and look forward to seeing you back in the ring. But that's going to do it here for us in the SFLC podcast. Everybody, enjoy the fights going on, and we will catch you all next week with all of the MMA news. And I am Ryan Sprague of the SFLC podcast. See y'all later.